It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Hey there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome on in. Hope you're having an outstanding Tuesday. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is August 1st. You see that? That's your summer appearing in the rearview mirror. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying it with any glee. But it is. It's definitely bittersweet. I was, we had Cedar Falls high school football coach Brad Remmert on the show yesterday, and when I first got Brad on the phone before we started talking on tape, I was like, part of me just wants to keep taking some time off and playing golf, but I want to watch football. Like, I can't go that much longer without watching football. So therein lies the rub, right? So. Here we are. We are at that crossroads right now where the summer winds down and the fall sports seasons are winding up. And that is going to continue to be the theme for today's show, for this week of shows, as once again, little vacation for yours truly at the end of the week. So fair warning. But today on the program, really excited to continue our previews of Metro and area high school football teams and their upcoming 2023 seasons. Just to dive right in here to the details, we're going to be joined by Waterloo West high school football coach Lonnie Moore and Applington Parkersburg high school football coach Alex Pollock. So we'll take our first steps outside the Metro today on the show. We'll hear about the Wahawks in the next segment. We'll hear about the AP Falcons in the third segment today on the show. But first things first, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you so much for being here. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter, or I guess, if I start calling it the X, are you guys going to know? And I said last week, has Elon Musk come out and said he wants it to be called X? Just X or the X? Because I think Jim Rome and Rich Eisen have been calling it the X for whatever it might be worth. Are you catching on to this? And then another thing I noticed today as well with this rebrand of Twitter is, like, last week when it subbed out the Twitter bird for the X logo, that when you went to go compose a tweet, it still was a tweet button. Like, when you click to do that, it still said tweet on it. And I happened to notice today that it doesn't say tweet anymore. It says post. So big changes. Big changes keep happening here. So follow us on Twitter or the X or whatever the hell it is. You know what I'm talking about. At 1650KCNZ. I'm on the X. I'm on Twitter at Real Colbert. And on Facebook, which to my knowledge still is just called Facebook, you can type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us and just hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go with more local statewide sports in your Facebook feed. Also, be sure to bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That's where all of that local and statewide and national sports content originates. before it finds its way to our social media channels. It's where you can listen to the podcast of this show, other audio on demand. We've got the interviews from Cedar Falls football coach Brad Remmert, Waterloo Columbus Catholic football coach Brad Schmidt, both available on demand at the website 1650thefan.com. So if you missed that yesterday, know that you can go find it there and give it a listen. You can also reach out. Don't be shy. Questions or comments for the program, save the number in your phone, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show, email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, we'll get it going here in just a little bit with area sports news and scores. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. They'll get you set if you feel the urge to bet a shekel or two on tonight's Cubs-Reds game, among other games in action. Game two of that four-game series tonight from Wrigley Field. Once again, pregame at 6:30. Justin Steele on the bump tonight for the Cubs, who really need him to play stopper after Marcus Stroman's struggles continued last night. That's getting to the point where you're about ready to scratch all the hair off the top of your head with Stroman, and the Cubs are going to need him if they're going to be able to capitalize on making a couple trades like they did here at the deadline and making a push for the playoffs. And so, man, it's we just need Justin Steele tonight. The new guy, Jaime Candelario, is in the lineup tonight. That was the bat the Cubs traded for. He's playing first base. He's a first baseman, third baseman by way of the Washington Nationals. But oddly enough, he came up largely developed in the Cubs minor league system years ago. So it's a new old face if you are a Cubs fan and you dig in on that type of stuff like I know I do. So, yeah, Brent Musburger, the guys, they'll get you set if you want to wager on the game coming up with that VSiN action update in the first time out. And, of course, we'll get you a forecast from Megan Mulford as well before we come back in the second segment and are joined by Lonnie Moore. As I mentioned, Waterloo West high school football coach set to join us in the next segment of today's show. The Wahawks coming off of a 3-6 season in 2022 and graduated a pretty big senior class. Bring a decent amount back on defense. So Coach Moore, who I caught up with earlier today, because so many of these coaches with camp beginning this week, and albeit not fully padded camp, a lot of them holding afternoon, late afternoon practices, evening practices, because of the heat this time of year. So catching up with a lot of these coaches as it works in their schedule. So caught up with Coach Moore earlier today, full disclosure. And he, as you might imagine, given the fact that they bring some guys back with experience on defense, he's anticipating that could be something that really leads this team. And there's a quarterback competition with the Wahawks. So it's going to play itself out here in preseason practices. And you'll hear Coach Moore talk about that and a whole lot else coming up in the next segment of today's show. After we're done there, we take a timeout at the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports, come back for a third segment, and that's when Alex Pollock, Applington Parkersburg high school football coach, will join us. Of course, the Falcons, another outstanding season last year. They were 7-1 in the regular season, made it to the second round of the Class 1A playoffs. A lot like the Wahawks, graduated a lot of seniors, a lot of impactful seniors, and plenty of competition set to play out for the Falcons in their preseason practices. But they do have their quarterback, Gavin Thomas, back. They bring a lot back in their secondary. And when it comes to these two teams and their season openers, the Wahawks will kick it off on Friday, August 25th at Memorial Stadium against their rival Waterloo East Trojans. And AP, the Falcons, will begin their season at home on August 25th against Union, LaPorte City. So that's what's coming up today on the show. After we hear from Coach Pollock, we'll, of course, take the final timeout. That's when you get an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we come back for a final time and wrap up the show. So MLB trade deadline has come and gone, and among the most compelling trades today, I would say Mets starting pitcher Justin Verlander, if you can even call him that, he spent, what, like 4 or 5 months in a Mets uniform, has been acquired by the Houston Astros. So the rich get richer. As much as I hate to admit it, the Astros are looking like the favorite in the American League, particularly after this deal. It sounds like the Mets are paying a hefty portion of Verlander's salary so they could get a better return on this trade, because Steve Cohen just paid him an obscene amount of money to be a New York Metropolitan for, like I said, what, 4 or 5 months? And so here you go. The Astros loading up again to make another World Series run. In terms of other really notable trades, I don't think anything necessarily earth-shattering went down. There were some big names rumored to be available, but nothing that I think necessarily rocks the baseball world. It was interesting today when the Cubs had to make the roster move to add Jeimer Candelario that Trey Mancini was the odd man out. He was designated for assignment, and that caught me by... I wasn't shocked, but I was a little surprised that that was the direction they wanted to go, even though that was kind of what I was hoping as a cutthroat fan. Like, it does feel weird to say that because Trey Mancini does seem like a really good dude, but just the results weren't there. So that is the collateral damage that comes with the trade deadline, as anybody would know that's a baseball fan and pays attention to this. So trade deadline has come and gone. Baseball firmly into the back half of its season. Football ramping up, as we've been talking here on the show. And, you know, I got an interesting little thing today, if time permits. I get these emails, like kind of random emails from time to time with odds on certain things. And in-house odds makers at the Sports Daily have a list of the most likely college football coaches to be fired first this season. So if time permits, as I hold it here in my hand, we'll get to this list that if you're a coach, you don't want to be on. But they've got, what do they got here? 3, 6, 9 names here on this list. So stick around and we'll, perhaps I'll tell you who Sports Daily thinks has the best odds to be fired first this college football season. So all right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Tuesday. We're less than a week from the start, the official start of the fall high school sports season. This coming Monday, August 7th, is the first day of fully padded practice for football, practice for volleyball, cross country, golf, and swimming and diving. First competition among fall sports can begin on August 10th with golf. The UNI Panthers picked to finish third in the Missouri Valley Conference's preseason poll released today. Defending national champion South Dakota State was the near-unanimous selection to finish first. Jackrabbits got 44 of 45 first-place votes. North Dakota State picked to finish second. Several members of the UNI football team earned spots on this year's MVFC preseason team, 11 to be specific. Panthers named to the first team include defensive lineman Christian Boyd, defensive back Wu Governor, and place kicker Matthew Cook. On the second team, quarterback Theo Day, wide receiver Sam Schnee, tight end Alex Allen, and offensive lineman Jared Penning. Remember, you can hear Panther football on our companion station, 93.5 The Mix. Wartburg is ranked fifth in the preseason D3Football.com top 25. This is the highest preseason ranking in program history. The Knights were previously ranked as high as sixth in 2004 and 2015. The Knights returned several key returners from last year's team that finished 13-1 and played in the D3 National Semifinals. Wartburg opens its season at home September 2nd against Monmouth. Iowa senior quarterback Cade McNamara has been named to the Maxwell Award watch list. The Maxwell Award is presented annually to the most outstanding player in college football. McNamara will be in his first season with the Hawkeyes after transferring from Michigan. He was a third-team All-Big Ten selection in 2021. Starting all 14 games and leading the Wolverines to a Big Ten championship. As a junior, he threw for 2,576 yards and 15 touchdowns. The winner will be announced December 7th. Today is the first day that Beth Goetz began serving as the University of Iowa's interim director of athletics. She was named interim AD after former AD Gary Barda announced in late May that he was retiring after 17 years. Yesterday was his final day on the job. Goetz joined the Iowa staff in September of 2022 from Ball State, where she served as director of athletics for 4 years. And the Waterloo Bucks are off today due to the Northwoods League Great Plains All-Star Game taking place in Bismarck, North Dakota. 4 Bucks playing in that game this evening, representing the East Division, outfielder Cole Hill and pitchers Aaron Savory, Sam Skarich, and Chaney Trout. The Bucks are off until Thursday when they'll begin a 4-game road trip at Rochester. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. Then we'll come back. We'll talk high school football. Waterloo West football coach Lonnie Moore joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
Justin Verlander is an Astro. It's official. The news being announced by the team on social media. So Verlander dealt by the Mets to Houston in exchange for minor leaguers and outfielders Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford. Not the only deal going down prior to baseball's trade deadline. The Phillies acquired pitcher Michael Lorenzen from the Tigers. Tigers were on the verge of trading pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez to the Dodgers, but he invoked his no-trade clause, blocking the deal to L.A. The Blue Jays acquired Cardinals infielder Paul DeJong, while the Padres traded for pitcher Rich Hill and first baseman Heman Choi in a deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brewers acquired reliever Andrew Chafin in a trade from the Arizona Diamondbacks. One other note to pass along, Yankees manager Aaron Boone said that Harrison Bader is not in the lineup tonight because of rest, not because he could be involved in a trade. Baseball's trade deadline comes up at 6 Eastern.
This is Zach Gelb. Get the latest on Metro and area high school sports right here on 1650 The Fan.
Cedar Falls High School graduating seniors, the Cedar Falls School District extends its sincerest congratulations to you and your families. You've successfully navigated all of the challenges of your education and made some great memories. Cedar Falls High School graduates, choose wisely the path upon which you forge ahead. You graduates are the future. We couldn't be prouder. The Cedar Falls School District would also like to take this opportunity to honor its retirees and service recognition recipients. Tracy Javalana, Lisa Johnson, Joni Krejci, Susan Langan, Deb Marchesani, Julie Missel, Jan Mord. Your overarching emphasis on service, philanthropy, and creativity inside and outside of the classroom are sources of humble pride for all of us. Thank you so much for your dedicated service to the Cedar Falls Schools. Great work. Thank you, one and all. Enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Cedar Falls Schools. Every student, every day.
Are you ready to get fit at the YMCA? Try one of the 40-plus fitness classes per week to get your heart rate up, burn some calories, and have fun. Let one of our certified fitness instructors lead you through a fun exercise routine in a variety of styles. Looking for some individual attention? Let a Y-certified personal trainer help you get going on your path to success. 3 sessions for only $99. Get fit at the Family YMCA, where you belong.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's Betting Splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com.
Reds edge the Cubs 6-5 at Wrigley yesterday as a $1.13 underdog. Today it's Justin Steele on the mound for the Cubs. He's 11-3 with a 2.87 ERA. The Cubs are the $1.55 favorite against Ben Lively and the Reds plus 145, 8 over at Wrigley Field. The St. Louis Cardinals at home with the Minnesota Twins. Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals plus 101. Pablo Lopez pitching for the Twins minus 119, 8.5 under at Busch Stadium. The White Sox, $1.95 dog at the Texas Rangers. Rangers minus 225, 9 under at Globe Life Field. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 67. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 66. Upper 80s Thursday, mid 80s by Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 87.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650. The Fan.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. And yesterday, we got it rolling, folks. We started our 2023 high school football previews. Of course, started with a couple Metro teams, talking Cedar Falls Tigers and Waterloo Columbus Catholic with coaches Brad Remmer and Brad Schmidt. We're staying in the Metro right now, and we're talking Waterloo West Wahawks football. And we're pleased to be joined by head coach Lonnie Moore. The Wahawks coming off a 3-6 season a year ago, but they're bringing a decent amount back, and we'll see what Coach Moore can tell us about the Wahawks and their goals for this season. Coach, thanks so much for being here. Hope you've had a good summer, and just the pleasure's all mine.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you guys.
Well, this week it's the fit-to-hit camps, right? You can't go fully padded, but teams are getting it going, like I mentioned. But first things first, I want to ask, a lot of teams get their players out to team camps, maybe a 7-on-7 or something like that. Just tell us about what, if anything, you've been able to get done prior to this week with your Wahawk football team this summer.
Yeah, our camp this week is called the Play 14 Camp, so we'll start that up today, tonight, with our guys. But over the summer, we had a lot of opportunity for our kids to get better. A lot of our kids went to individual camps, especially some of the local schools around here, Iowa State, UNI, things like that. We did participate in a couple of 7-on-7 events. We did one with Independence down at their place. We also went down to Northern Illinois where we got a chance to stay overnight, so our guys got a chance to stay in a hotel together, kind of bond a little bit, and then participate in that 7-on-7 event down in Northern Illinois. And then we also did one at Simpson College and at Lawrence College, where we got a chance to go down there and compete against some good schools, especially the Simpson one. We have some good schools in Johnston and Valley, and those kind of schools are all down there participating. We got to compete against those guys. So that was good for our team to get a chance to do that. Also, right before Family Week, we took our team down to Central College for a three-day team camp where we participated in with other 12 other teams. They had a team from Chicago that was in there, Aurora Christian. Dowling was down there. We got a chance to scrimmage Dowling. We got a chance to scrimmage Lamar. Johnston, there was some really good competition down there for us that we got a chance to go down there and compete against. So we've done some great things this summer, including our strength conditioning with Coach Toma. He does a great job with our kids. Those guys getting a chance to be in the weight room with him and do some good things there. But just a busy summer, but our guys really fulfilled what we asked them to do.
A very busy summer, and now obviously it's almost like, I don't think a coach would call it this, but maybe from a player's perspective, it's almost like you take maybe a little bit of a step back this week about fundamentals, about the safety of the game. So given what the Iowa High School Athletic Association allows teams to do this week, Coach Moore, what can you tell us in terms of over the years as this week has grown and evolved, how you and your staff have figured out to best utilize it?
You know, the more time I've coached here, I really think the importance of fundamentals are very, very important. So we definitely are looking to do that here for camp week, for our play 14 week. We probably won't do any plays or anything like that. We go more fundamentals for each position, just learning some of the simple things and things that we've done over the summer also, but we'd also have new kids that haven't been there or was going over the summer, had to work or whatever, babysit. Now we get a chance to get our whole team in. So we're going to go back to basics and just start with some of the little things on footwork and fundamentals and those type of things before we even get into some of our plays and schemes and things like that. So we're definitely going to hit that hard this week.
Waterloo West High School football coach Lonnie Moore, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole and Company. Coach, how are your numbers? I know you had a good-sized senior class last year, so what can you tell us in terms of numbers for your Wahawks?
We're looking at about 45 kids right now in our varsity football program, which is pretty good for us. And then we could have some surprises. Just today in the weight room this morning, I had three or four kids that said they wanted to play football, so you add that on to our varsity program. Our freshman numbers are going to be up. I think we're going to be at about 35, 40 kids there,
good.
Too, so which is good for our freshman program. So we'll see what happens with that. But numbers looking good. You know, there's always new kids that come out, you know, determine if they didn't come out last year, and we spoke to them over the years. And then also kids transfer, so we usually see what happens with that also. I know I talked to a kid today that just transferred into our building, so from another school, so we have to get him in and go in.
Coach, you know, so much of the focus this time of the year, and understandably so, is, day by day, what you want to get done, what's up next week in terms of going to fully padded practice. But I have to imagine, coming out of the 2022 season, that there were things that you go, man, it's important we remember this and apply it to next season. So what can you tell us in terms of coming off of that 2022 season that was, the things that you're trying to make sure that you and your staff don't lose sight of that can help this team this year?
That's definitely a good one there. We definitely talked about that. We had a coaches meeting last night, and we talked about it all summer. A couple things we didn't do a good job of that we want to make sure we get better of is the turnover battle. We didn't do a good job of taking away the ball or getting turnovers, and we turned the ball over way too much. So that's going to be a big focus for us. We're going to call it protect the football this year offensively and take away it on defense. So we're going to do some different things. We think that it was some schemes, things that hurt us defensively while we didn't get some takeaways. So we're going to change that a little bit to try to make sure we can get ourselves in a better position to get some turnovers. And we need to put emphasis on offense or protecting the ball at all costs. So we have added a session to our practice this year where we're going to call it Play 14 session, where there's a 12-minute session where our guys are going to work on protecting the ball from high and tight to making sure they, when they fall in, make sure they know how to put the ball away, those type of things. So that's one of our key things we talked about this year that we know we got to get better at.
When you talk about ball security and taking the ball away, Coach Moore, it makes me think about your defense because you're bringing a good amount back of experience, guys, on your defense. I would imagine there's going to be competition. Nobody's necessarily guaranteed a spot, but do you have a good level of optimism about their ability to take a step forward, particularly in that takeaway department because of, like I mentioned, you're bringing a decent amount of guys back?
Yeah. We bring in 9 of the 11 starters back on defense. So we were very young last year defensively. But this year they all back 9 of the 11. We lost 2 seniors. I do think that in some of the things we have done, especially when we went to team camp, we can see that it's helped our guys to be more emphasis on getting taken away the ball. And I mean passing-wise, intercepting it, and also getting more guys to the ball and wrapping up and then trying to force the ball out. So with that group, with being some experience with it, we can focus more, I think, on that with that group because they are coming back with some of the things we've done last year and we can put more emphasis on that. So that's a good thing defensively for us that, we got a lot of guys back. And not only those 9 guys that come back, we got about 4 or 5 of guys who also played some significant time that wasn't starters, but they also played time for us last year. So we were really young defensively. So we're going to really lean on those guys this year, especially early on in the first couple games.
Offensively, you had graduations at quarterback, running back, wide receiver. So what can you tell us in terms of maybe just focusing now on the skill positions on who you're looking at? Because as you said earlier, you've been to plenty of team camps, played a lot of 7-on-7. So you've had some time to evaluate whoever the challengers are for these positions, Coach Moore. So what can you tell us at those 3 spots?
I'll be honest with you, it's still some competition out there. We really haven't set anything in stone. We did lose a lot on offense. I think we bring back 2 guys that's on our offensive line. So we will be having a lot of new guys up competing for those spots. So, right now our quarterback spot, we got 2 guys and Wesley Evans, who's going to be a senior for us, who was one of our quarterbacks last year, who's going to be competing for that spot. And then you got Brady Dean, who's played for our sophomore team, JV/sophomore team last year, who's coming in to try to compete. 2 very smart guys, guys who are 3.8 or higher GPA. They pick up the thing, pick up a lot of stuff really quickly. 2 different types of quarterbacks. So we got to just see which one we're going to go with from there. But they're both making it tough on us because they both are working hard and doing what we ask them to do.
I think it's probably fair to say, Coach Moore, that a quarterback competition is unlike any other with respect to the other positions just because they've got the ball in their hand every play. And like you point out, if you've got 2 different type of quarterbacks, it could really change not only how you call a game, but how you want to scheme a game. So what can you tell us in terms of all your experience, the best way to conduct a quarterback battle in terms of how you're going to challenge the guys and when it's most important with respect to your team to have a decision made?
We talked about that as a coaching staff. We want to try to have a decision made somewhere around our first scrimmage. So we're going to scrimmage Waverly Sherlock this year, and we want to have it either before the scrimmage or probably after the scrimmage sometime to kind of figure that out. Through my 15 years as head coach, we have had some battles at quarterback, and some of the tougher battles, it actually all played in our way, so I hope the same way. So way back, we had Alex Young. He was competing with for a spot, and he ended up winning. He ended up being conference player of the year. We had Devin Moore. He competed mm-hmm. for a quarterback spot. He ended up being All-State and also conference player of the year. So every time we had a quarterback battle, and also Connor McClain was back in the day too, competed. When we made a tough decision, we made some good decisions. So we're really banging on. Hopefully we got to make another tough one here, and that guy lead us from there.
Meanwhile, running back wide receiver competitions, those seem a little more cut and dry. But when I think of top shelf Water the West football, I think about plays being made at those positions, Coach Moore, running back and wide receivers. So what can you tell us in terms of the guys that I would think, you know, perhaps have been able to put their skills on display this summer at camps and 7-on-7? Who's in the mix?
You know, we got some young guys in the mix this year. We got two guys that are probably our fastest two guys. I would say they're going to be sophomores, and Torian Dawes, he'll be a sophomore for us and doing a great job, and he participated in some of our track and state stuff. So, and then we got another sophomore kid who's also part of our sophomore class that we're also part of the state that's really fast, was going to be working with us. So we're going to be young at that position. We got some older guys who also played it, just didn't start there. So we'll be okay. I didn't mention the other sophomore named Destiny Murray will be another one. So, but we do have some young guys there and some inexperienced guys. So those guys will be up in the air for that position. Jacob Moeller, Andrew Klein, Bryce Westermeyer, Courtney Botney. You know, some of those guys all play receiver. Actually, they just didn't start for us last year. So now it's their time to step in and do that role for us.
Just a couple more minutes here with Water the West High School football coach Lonnie Moore on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, we talked about the skill positions, but as you well know, I mean, none of it works unless you got a good group of offensive linemen up front protecting for everybody. What can you tell us in terms of returnees and how much competition there might be on your offensive line?
Yeah, it's the same thing there. Some good competition. We bring back two guys who played a lot of time for us, and Elijah Limley started for us at the center, so it's good to have your center back because he makes all our calls up front and those things so he can help out the young guys. And then Drew Hunley, he's a guy who went both ways for us. He's a four-year starter for us. He's a kid that we brought up as a freshman, and he plays some defense for us as a freshman, so he'll do a good job there. But we do also got some other kids. Keegan Nystrom, he was one of our starting defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. He's going to probably play on our O-line, and he's probably one of our most recruited kid right now. He has about four or five Division II offers out there, so we got to make sure our best player is on the field and ready to go. And then some of our younger guys are going to have to go out there. We got the twins and Matt Thomas and Nate Thomas, probably one of our hardest working guys on the field. They work hard all summer. They're going to get a chance to compete at some spots there. Evan Smith is a sophomore kid, one of our bigger sophomore kids that's going to get a chance to play for us. And then we also got a 6'7 sophomore who's going to do a great job for us. He's going to get an opportunity to get in there. Every time he went to camp this summer, none of the coaches could believe he's only going to be a sophomore. So he's going to do a good job for us. That's Carson Nielsen. So we're going to be young there too, but I think these guys are really putting in a lot of time in the summer and ready to go.
Do you have any sort of sense, Coach Moore, on what the blueprint might be for this team? Because you've got so many new faces, so many competitions to play themselves out yet. Can you not really pin that down just yet? Is this team yet to tell you what it's going to be, or do you have an impression of how they can reach their potential?
You know, I got some ideas. We're not having pinned it down yet. You know, if it was a game today, we definitely would lean on our defense and make decisions on that throughout the game, making sure our defense is on the field and make sure our defense is winning it. But we still got some guys, and once we pin in some guys on the offensive side of the ball, we can kind of figure out where we at there, what we look like to do. You know, every year we kind of figure out who we got at quarterback and running back and what kind of scheme we want to use. So that is yet to be determined. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, we had a game today, we'd definitely be leaning on that defense. Because they got the experience, they got the guys out there who've been around and done things.
Doesn't sound like your team needs any additional motivation. However, you kick off your season in 24 days against your rival, Waterloo East. You get the benefit of being the home team in that game. So I would imagine, Coach, if you feel like you got to play that card at any point, it's, guys, we take on the Trojans week one. We better be ready.
Yeah, I never have to play that card. That's already out there. You know, those kids, especially now, they're all friends. Some of them went to the same middle school, and they know each other, and they've been talking stuff since last year. So that stuff is already out there. I think they have a really good coaching staff. As their coach has done a great job with that program and trying to get it on their way. They bring back tons of guys as I look on their roster. So they played a lot of young guys, a lot of sophomores and juniors
yep.
that they bring back. So we got to make sure we're ready for that. So anyway, that's what we're looking to do. It's just, you know, that's going to be an emphasis on its own. I think the kids will be ready for that anyway.
Coach Moore, thanks so much for the time today on the show. Really appreciate it. Great to catch up. Best of luck. Best of health to your team. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again, I think, in about 3 weeks or so on the first episode of the Coach's Huddle with Mark Simpson, when you can tell us about everything your team got accomplished throughout preseason practices. So thanks so much.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, and thanks for what everything you guys do for our community. I wouldn't like to go back without talking about our coaches.
Yeah.
We got a great staff this year. A lot of ex-players of mine, so that means I've been here a little longer now that I've coached some guys. But we got a great guy. We got 14 coaches this year. They're all doing a great job.
Great.
Andy Payton, Coach Dabney, Coach Johnson, Demetrius Cadell, Devin Moore, Eddie Lanier, Eric Harbaugh, Joe Davis, John Dunford, Nick Lanfear, Nick Rowe, Ryan Smiley, and Stuart Rickard are all part of the staff, and half of those guys are former players of mine, so they're all back in true Wahawks, so we're excited about it.
I was going to say, that's a who's who of Wahawks right there.
Yeah, some good Wahawks, and they're going to do a good job for us.
Coach Moore, really appreciate it again. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll look forward to following along and talking more Wahawks football, all right?
Thank you for having me, and go Wahawks.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Radio Iowa Sports, good afternoon. I'm Tim Fisher. We'll start with college football, where it's preseason award watch list time. Iowa quarterback Cade McNamara yesterday named to the Maxwell Award watch list. The Maxwell Award annually honors the most outstanding player in college football. On to minor league baseball on the schedule tonight, the Iowa Cubs play host to Toledo. In the Midwest League, Cedar Rapids tonight will play host to Lansing. Quad Cities tonight goes on the road to start a series in Peoria. On to college basketball, where the Iowa State Cyclones preparing to leave for their international trip on Friday as the Cyclones head to the Bahamas. The Iowa Hawkeyes getting sent to leave on Saturday for their international trip to France and Spain. I'm Tim Fisher, Radio Iowa Sports.
Naloxone can help you save someone's life. If you know someone that takes pain medication, or they have prescription narcotics and there are young children in the home, or they use drugs that include opioids, an overdose could happen. Naloxone could save their life. Naloxone is a nasal spray, and it is easy to use. You can get Naloxone for free from many local pharmacies. So ask your pharmacist about getting Naloxone, and be prepared to save a life. A message from Iowa HHS.
Hey Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Save 11% on Menards' unbeatable selection of Atlas roofing products. Castlebrook, Briarwood, and Pinnacle shingles feature a limited lifetime warranty, up to 130 mile per hour wind warranty, and a super wide design for fast installation. Protect your home for years to come and save 11% on all Atlas shingles right now at Menards. Good through August 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. We continue on with our previews of the 2023 high school football season. Camps getting started this week. Not full pads just yet. That begins this upcoming Monday. And right now, we're going to take our first steps outside the metro on our previews. We're joined now by Appleton-Parkersburg High School football coach Alex Pollock. Falcons coming off an outstanding season a year ago, 7-1, and made the second round of the Class 1A playoffs. Coach Pollock, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
And looking forward to learning about your Falcon football team. And before we dive into, you know, what you want to get done here in preseason practices, how about looking into what you got done during the summer? It's such an important time. All the coaches obviously point that out. So whether it was team camps, 7-on-7, strictly weightlifting, conditioning. What were your guys able to accomplish? What did you see?
Well, you know, our number one focus is our weight room, our speed and quickness work that we do. And really, we you know, it's not just in the summer. We do it in the spring and then leading up into to summer and doing all that stuff. So, you know, the weight room and the agility work that we do has been the number one thing for all of our kids this summer. You know, we've got quite a few kids graduated from last year's team, and so it was important that, you know, we keep progressing and keep, you know, keep getting our kids bigger and stronger and faster, and I think they did that. I think they're pretty excited after, you know, how last year went, and, you know, when we sat down at the end of the season to talk about what our expectations are of them and what their expectations are of themselves, I think everybody was on the same page, and, you know, we really had some young guys step up in the offseason. We're really excited about that.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Like you point out, you graduated a number of seniors, so there's got to be a lot of competition, essentially, that's going to play itself out here during preseason practice. So perhaps you saw some guys really attack the offseason because, as you said, you know, the staff talked about it to them, and they're smart enough to know it themselves.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the biggest thing that we saw is the kids that really want to take it seriously. And, you know, we were lucky. I think we had a huge number of kids that wanted to make, you know, a lot of progress in the off season. And when that's the case, it's not a matter of us, you know, begging them to come in and get their work done. Mm-hmm. If they showed up on their own, you know, basically 5 days a week in the morning, and, you know, three of the days we did, you know, organized lifting and all that, and then the other two, they showed up and did their own plyometric, you know, work and jumps and all that type of stuff. So we had a really productive off season in that regard, something that we haven't seen very much of, just kids wanting to come in the morning and get their work done in the morning because they feel like, you know, that's when they're, maybe not they're at their best, but I think that's when, you know, there's a toughness aspect to that. So
yeah.
It's been good. You know, we really need some young guys to step up, and I think some of those guys have made a lot of progress, and we're really excited to see, you know, what that means as we get forward with practice and getting pads on and stuff like that.
A lot of attention right now on this week of practices where you don't go full pads. So what have you and your staff, Coach Pollock, learned over the years is the best way to attack this week, and might maybe, you know, given personnel or whatever dynamics in play, maybe it looks a little different from one year to another, but I'm really curious to hear you explain, you know, what you think is the best use of the time you have, not full pads this week.
Well, I think you're right. You know, every year might just be a little bit different, just depending on what you have returning and, you know, what gaps you have to fill and stuff like that. You know, last year we felt like we were a pretty veteran group, and so, you know, we felt like we can move a little faster through camp. This year we're going to be a little bit younger in some positions, so we're going to kind of slow down a little bit and focus on little things. You know, for us, offensively, it starts with our quick huddle, and, you know, we'll spend a whole day basically, you know, trying to get really good at that. And, you know, hopefully after one day, you know, we can start moving forward with, you know, with running our plays and stuff like that. But, you know, the way we run our offense, there's a lot of, you know, really important things such as steps, you know, direction, you know, the first step, second step type things. And if we don't do well at that, then our offense is going to click. And, you know, with that come our fakes and stuff like that. So with us defensively, it's all about our technique. You know, we aren't fancy defensively. We just try to keep it simple and make sure our guys understand that they need to run to the football. And over the last 5 years, we've done a really good job of that. So, you know, we're going to take it really slow these next couple days throughout camp, and then hopefully we can retain that information as we move forward into the following week when practice gets going for real, and you know, continue with our install and just trying to get a little bit better every day.
As you pointed out a couple times here, Coach, you had a big class of seniors that were highly impactful that graduated. So what can you tell us about the juniors who are now seniors, and what you've seen from them so far and the opportunities they've had to demonstrate leadership?
Well, you know, I think one of the special things about last year was I think our junior and senior classes really meshed well. I think, you know, there wasn't a lot of drama. There was really no drama. And those two classes were just really, they got along, they hung out all the time, and no, that was great. Now the challenge going into this year is, okay, now our senior class, you know, we've got to find that same type of mesh with the classes below them. And so if we do that, you know, I think good things are going to happen. But, you know, it's going to start with our senior class, and it's not the biggest senior class we've ever had. But we do have a lot of guys that have played a lot of snaps in our program. So we're excited about them, and we're excited, you know, with their leadership and them bringing along some of those younger guys and trying to, you know, again, make sure we're making progress every single practice and not taking any steps backwards.
Applington Parkersburg High School football coach Alex Pollock, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. We're doing our 2023 high school football previews. We began yesterday, and if you missed any of it, all the interviews will be available online at 1650thefan.com. Coach, how about we just look at this team of yours, as we've discussed a little bit about the roster turnover, who's coming back, but to kind of dig in a little bit more into the details on offense, you know, losses at skill positions and on the offensive line, but you do bring your quarterback, Gavin Thomas, back, so that's a good starting point.
Yeah, and, you know, it'll be Gavin's third year as a starter, and so he knows our offense backwards and forwards and knows the nuances of it. And, you know, in the past, we haven't asked him to do a ton. You know, his is more of a, it's a more of a leadership role in the huddle, and he does that really well. So, you know, we're excited about what he can do, and maybe we can open up the playbook a little bit with him. You know, he's probably going to have to use his legs a little bit more than he has in the past, which is fine. I think he's ready for it. He's you know, as strong as he's ever been, and I think he's going to be able to take those hits and deliver those hits a little bit better. So that's good. You know, we've got, you know, basically three offensive linemen coming back that started playoff game last year. So I think that's pretty good. And then the other two, we're just kind of, you know, seeing where that competition leads. You know, a kid like Cale Stotler, one of the strongest kids in our program, just kind of, you know, we're kind of figuring out where we want to put him. I think we have that luxury where we can, you know, he can play a couple different spots for us. A kid like Cale Schoeneman started on defense the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he's going to play a bunch on defense, but now he's going to step into a you know, place where he's got to carry the ball quite a few times now. And, you know, how does that work with, you know, playing both ways and getting tired and all that stuff? And, you know, we had a couple guys last year that missed the entire season because of injuries early on. And we're really excited to get them out on the field as seniors and see where they're at, you know, with off-season surgeries and stuff like that, just kind of seeing how healthy they can be and how strong they can be and seeing where they fit into the mold. So it's fun, you know, as a head coach, you're kind of putting together a puzzle every fall.
Yeah.
And with the assistant coaches' input and all that stuff, and that's what's fun, and that's what keeps you coming back for more.
How about your defense? I mean, you touched on a little bit there with some of your two-way guys, but I know you graduated some guys who are highly impactful, like we've gotten into already. But what are you anticipating in terms of the level of competition throughout preseason camp, and you know how this group of personnel may differ a little bit in terms of the best way to put them in position to succeed?
Yeah, and well, you said it. You know, the competition is going to be great. And as a coach, I don't think you can ask for anything more. I mean, if you want to play, you better be ready to go every single day. And so we've got guys that can do that. You know, I can't even sit here and tell you right now in some of those positions who it's going to be. But
sure,
we've got guys that have played varsity snaps. We've got young guys that have played a lot of JV snaps. And, I mean, that's just the way football works. It's kind of next man in. So, you know, defensive line wise, you know, we lose a lot of guys. You know, we graduated basically six guys that played a ton of snaps for us. But a guy like Niall Peterson has played a decent amount of defense in his time here. Colton Harkin has played. Jackson Mulder, you know, where he kind of fits into that. And, you know, and Cale Stotler played some defensive tackle for us last year in different packages. So we've got guys that have played. You know, moving back into that, you know, a good linebacker is going to say, well, I can only be as good as the defensive front four. And so we're lucky. We've got a guy like Mason Ritter that has played some snaps. He started a playoff game for us last year as a young guy. So we've got a little bit of experience there. Cooper Hoff is a kid that, you know, has missed all last year, but he would have been an impactful guy on defense last year. Gabe Mostek missed all last year. You know, where does he fit in? We're kind of figuring all that stuff out right now. But then as you move into the back end, that's where we're the most experienced, I think, of our crew. Maybe not the deepest, but guys that have played quite a bit for us. You know, Will Hodges had an excellent year for us before he got injured last year at the cornerback spot. Gavin Thomas played some corner and some free safety. Nick Newroth is the quarterback of our defense, and he's been through the system 2 years now, started for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, his sophomore year was a big surprise for him to even play on the field, and he ended up being a spectacular player for us. So we've got those guys. It's just a matter of, you know, putting it all together and building up depth behind them. So that's the goal, you know, really coaching up the guys number 6 through 30 in the talent range there. But
yeah.
I know we've got the good, you know, really good assistant coaches that are going to be able to do that.
Just a couple minutes left here with Appleton Parkersburg High School football coach Alex Pollock on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, given all the personnel turnover, albeit a lot of guys, of course, that you're familiar with, but still, how different, if at all, might the blueprint be for this team compared to a team a year or 2 years ago? Obviously, you guys kind of have your brand over there of how you play football, but, you know, how might this team, if it does at all, stand out and be its own?
But, you know, it will look a lot different. You know, like you said, we have our brand, and you know, we're not going to stray far from our brand. However, last year, you know, we were pretty vanilla, straightforward. You know, we didn't get, you know, too fancy just because I thought, you know, 4 yards, we could do that all the way down the field. And for the most part, we did.
Yeah.
Averaging, you know, 40-plus points per game. And defensively, we were – I think statistically, probably the second best in school history last year. So, you know, as an offensive play caller, you feel really good about that when your defense is out there and you know you're not going to be giving up any points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this year it's going to look differently. You know, we've got a celebrated quarterback that can run and throw. We've got some guys in the backfield, kind of like a committee situation where we're hopefully going to be moving guys around and getting a bunch of guys different carries, but it's all going to start with our offensive line. And, you know, as soon as those guys can gel and mesh and hopefully stay healthy, I think we're going to have a lot of good results. But it will look different from last year. And that's, you know what, that's 100% okay, because we've been thinking about this all off season, and we're fully prepared to make those little changes as we go.
24 days until kickoff on August 25th. You guys play host to Union, LaPorte City. How's that strike you on August 1st, Coach Pollock?
It's crazy to think that. It really is. You know, we got to get better. We got to get better fast. And, you know we got a really good Union team coming in to play us. And I tell you what, the final score last year, I really don't think was indicative of how close that game was. I think we kind of wore them out a little bit right before halftime. We hit some big plays in the second quarter. But other than that, it wasn't you know, it wasn't anything where we were getting big 30-yard runs or anything like that. So they had a pretty good game plan, and we're expecting more of that this year. So a lot of stuff has to happen in those 24 days, but I'm excited about our group. I'm excited for our coaches, and really, really excited to get going with camp here.
Well, I think I speak for a number of our listeners, Coach, that they're excited for 2023 Appleton Parkersburg football. And after hearing everything you had to say, there's obviously good reason to be excited. So best of luck, best of health this season. We'll be following along, and we'll be sure to keep in touch throughout the season.
I appreciate it, Cole. Thank you.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Major League Baseball's trade deadline is officially here, and Shohei Ohtani is not on the move. But today's 6 p.m. trade deadline still provides teams a unique opportunity to improve their rosters one more time. Over the last decade, the deadline has helped propel multiple teams into a deep playoff run. Just go back to last year. The Padres acquired Juan Soto, Josh Hader, and Josh Bell. That helped the team reach the National League Championship Series. In 2016, the Cubs, they secured flame-throwing closer Aroldis Chapman. Chapman helped end the 108-year World Series drought. In 2015, the New York Mets acquired Yoenis Cespedes. The outfielder went on to hit 17 home runs on his way to propelling New York to the World Series while gathering some MVP votes along the way. There are plenty of players available who are capable of replicating that success. And with 18 total teams currently boasting a winning record, this afternoon could be really important in what happens in October. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Worn out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Continental tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be.
That's a wrap for a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Thanks so much for being here. Got to thank Lonnie Moore, Waterloo West High School football coach, for joining, as well as Appleton-Parkersburg football coach Alex Pollock. More to come on tomorrow's show. Stay tuned for Cubs-Reds pregame coverage at 6:30, first pitch at 7:05. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.